live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a prominent anti-abortion campaigner from Donegal has gatecrashed a Yes campaign political photo shoot in Dublin and called on Minister Simon Harris to resign. It's hoped that a new EU-funded cross-border health project will lead to patients being treated more quickly and services improved in a number of areas across the north and northwest. Staff at Lloyd's pharmacy branches across the country will next week ballot for industrial action. Trade union mandate claims employees have taken the step following the refusal by the company to negotiate with them. And the public are being given another chance to have their say on the proposed routes in the 10T programme. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, staff at Lloyd's pharmacy branches across the country will next week ballot for industrial action. Trade union mandate claims employees have taken the step following the refusal by the company, which has one branch in Letterkenny, to negotiate with them. The Labour Court issued a recommendation last month to the company's management, stating that they should negotiate with their workers' representatives in relation to pay and conditions of employment. However, the union says Lloyd's pharmacy have thus far refused to respond to the request. Kieran Campbell is divisional organiser with Mandate Trade Union.
Well, effectively the basis, Michaela, is that the Labour Court recommended in the earlier part of this month that both sides should get together and discuss a number of issues that we have regarding our members' terms and conditions and rates of pay. Following that Labour Court recommendation, we haven't heard anything from the Lloyd's pharmacy brand, and as such, even though we've written a number of letters looking to meet with them, they've ignored those, and really we have no alternative but to ballot our members on that Labour Court recommendation and the fact that the company is failing to fulfil it.
And although you said there has been no correspondence so far, are you hopeful that there could be in between times now?
We always would be hopeful. There's a bit of space now. We'd like to think that the company would enter into that space in good faith and in line with what the Labour Court recommended. They took the time to actually engage in that part of the industrial relations processes by attending the Labour Court. We think not only has it been lack of courtesy shown to Mandate Trade Union, but equally to the Labour Court and the recommendation that they made.
A prominent anti-abortion campaigner from Donegal has gatecrashed a Yes campaign political photo shoot in Dublin and called on Minister Simon Harris to resign. All TDs and senators supporting a Yes vote have gathered for a photo shoot in a Dublin hotel. Pro-life campaigner and former Donegal election candidate Tim Jackson gatecrashed the event and started shouting at Minister Simon Harris and Catherine Sipon.
Minister, will you resign?
Excuse me.
Are you in favour of killing innocent human beings? Minister for Children, will you resign?
Excuse me.
When young children are being proposed to be killed in this referendum?
Excuse me. Both ministers now.
Minister for Health, are you happy that taxpayers' money will be used to fund the killing of innocent human beings?
Could I just have a round of applause, please, for the ministers in particular?
Meanwhile, the government has been told to man up and provide more supports for pregnant women as an alternative to abortion. Love Both have said if there is a no vote, other legislation could be looked at to address the hard cases like rape and fetal abnormality. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
A theme's emerged from some no campaigners in the last week who say they wouldn't be opposed to helping women in so-called hard cases who seek abortions, but they believe that can be done without repealing the Eighth Amendment. Consultant obstetrician Dr. Trevor Hayes says it could be looked at after the vote.
If on the 25th no arrives, it will be a possibility that we can go back to the drawing board and secure some legislation for the exceptional cases.
But the government says their advice from the Attorney General is that no such legislation could come in while the Eighth Amendment is in place because it would be unconstitutional. They've also been on the campaign trail today. Junior Minister Finian McGrath predicted that Yes will win 60-40. His Independent Alliance colleague John Halligan says it's not about that.
It doesn't matter if it's carried by 1% or 20%. The people will decide. It's important to all of us. It's important for women's rights. It's important for democracy. It's important for a forward forward thinking country in the 21st century, that we get this over the line and we deal with a problem in Ireland.
The second last TV debate of the campaign will take place tonight on Primetime, with Minister Simon Harris debating Love Boat's Cora Sherlock. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
It's hoped that a new EU-funded cross-border health project will lead to patients being treated more quickly and services improved in a number of areas across the north and northwest. The Seelta Hospital Group and Western Health Trust are among the bodies included in the new €8.8 million initiative. Among the elements will be increased cooperation in urology and vascular services, which will see more patients treated in Letterkenny, Sligo and Antlagalvin rather than being transferred to Galway or Dublin. There is also a programme to provide more trained paramedics in the community in Inishowen. The group which put in the funding application was chaired by Letterkenny University Hospital Manager Sean Murphy. He says such cooperation has been very successful in the past.
With all our core projects, what we look to do is develop proof of concept. The funding for the EU allows us to develop different ways of doing things. If they're successful, that gives an opportunity then to go back to our respective health services, north or south of the border, or indeed in Scotland, and actually make a case that says, look, this works, we can demonstrate it works, it improves patient outcomes, it improves patient experience, and it's cost effective. We're currently, Interreg 5 is the fifth version of this EU regional funding. In the last round of funding, 85% of the projects that were trialled out in the programme were actually mainstreamed and built into the core health services within the respective jurisdictions.
In terms of Brexit, you're happy that this funding and these cooperative ventures are ring-fenced from that, and whatever happens in discussions between the governments and discussions between the UK and Europe, these programmes and this initiative will not be affected?
Absolutely. We have a confirmation from the British government and from the EU that the Interreg 5 programme will not be affected by Brexit. The money is committed and will be provided. That is secure, and therefore these programmes are secure. And Bernie McCrory, the Chief Officer of Court, has done a lot of work with both the EU bureaucracy and the governments both in the UK and in the Republic to secure those agreements.
And more details on this story are available on our website highlandradio.com. The public are being given another chance to have their say on the proposed routes for the three rail projects included in the 10T programme. The new drop-in sessions will take place on Tuesday the 29th of May in Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet, Wednesday the 30th of May in the Radisson Blu in Letterkenny, and Thursday the 31st of May in the County House in Lifford from 2pm to 8pm each day. The additional consultations were called following claims that several people were not aware of the potential impact the selected routes would have on them, and they should be given every opportunity to express their views. Councillor Patrick McGowan says it's important for public confidence that these extra sessions take place.
The TAA now have agreed that all three projects within the TMT, within Donegal, will go back out on the 29th, 30th and 31st. It extended the date as well. And it's important, like, it's grand for public meetings for them, people to speak out and let other people hear their views on it. But the most important thing is for people, the public, to make submissions into the TMT. That's what's going to inform them. It's important that we have this drop on it.
And you've made the point that if this adds a little more time to the process, we've waited over 20 years, we can wait another 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Two or three weeks or whatever that the impact will have on them, the land will be most important, the time well spent. And as I say, we have been waiting almost 20 years and it's important that it's right. It's important to get traffic through the county and then out of the county, but it's very, very important that we fully consider the impact that it has on local community, local businesses and everything else, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about building Donegal, but there's no point in building things on out of Donegal if it's not going to support the people that live in it.
You will find more information on this on our website, highlandradio.com. Four of Northern Ireland's main parties have urged the UK government to keep the province in the single market and customs union after Brexit. The leaders of Sinn Féin Alliance, the SDLP and the Green Party have signed a joint statement. The UK government is still split on how to resolve issues surrounding the Irish border. The SDLP's Claire Hannah says it's important parties work together on the issue.
Further polling only confirms that the very vast majority of people here do not want to Brexit now that all of the details are known.
There are calls for a full-time planning office to be re-established in Inishowen. The service has been centralised for the past number of years, with a planner travelling to the peninsula on a fortnightly basis. Local councillor Bernard McGuinness says with the latest figures showing 133 planning applications on the peninsula, there should be a planner available in Carndonagh on a full-time basis. Councillor McGuinness says the current setup does not suffice and has reiterated calls for the service to be decentralised once again.
We had a very good office there prior to the economic crash, but the numbers didn't justify planners being there. But we are now calling for that to be re-established because of the numbers and because of its distance from central planning office in Lippert. We have one day every fortnight when a planner is available for appointments and available as a walk-in clinic. And that's to be very welcomed and has been the case. But when there's pressure on the planning office, then that doesn't happen. For instance, we should have a planning clinic tomorrow because of the time of the year and because of annual leave and one thing and another. There'll be no planner there for a month. So I believe now that modern technology and everything else, we should have a planner in Inishowen rather than sitting. We have a planner dedicated to Inishowen and Lippert. My opinion, and indeed other members' opinion, this person should be actually in Carndonagh.
The chair of the Donegal Islands Committee has moved to clarify details on issues surrounding road conditions on Arranmore Island. It's after another member of the Islands Committee, Seamus Rogers, claimed that residents on Arranmore were being treated like second-class citizens. However, Chair Councillor Micheál Colmagill Osbagh says that Arranmore received a big slice of the latest round of LIS funding, but acknowledged that the money won't go far enough to address the road conditions on the island. He says Donegal as a whole is suffering from a lack of funding and central government is to blame.
The islands aren't getting enough allocations when it comes to LIS, but that's down to the allocation that comes from central government to the council. And if you look at the Glenties Electoral area and the allocation that we got at the last round, which is significantly less than what we had hoped it would be. And if you look at the area that allocation comes from towards the islands, as we call in the council, the Dunlow area, there was 52,400 allocated to this area. And out of that there, the islands would be a part of it. And Arranmore itself got the biggest chunk out of that 52,400. It received €23,920, which was the biggest allocation and nearly half of that allocation. And I just felt that it was a wee bit unfair to suggest that we as councillors and as a council hadn't allocated it to the island.
But it can be argued that the claim didn't come out of nowhere, that residents are concerned on the island that the road conditions there are in a desperate state.
The roads most definitely are in a desperate state, and but it's not just the island that there isn't enough money being spent on. It's in the whole county itself.
Sport on Highland. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for brighter days with everything you need to get active this summer.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with golf, and Graham McDowell and Padraig Harrington have been confirmed as European vice-captains for September's Ryder Cup in Paris. Also announced today as part of Thomas Bjorn's backroom team are tournament veterans Lee Westwood and Luke Donald. With Robert Kjaersen confirmed as Bjorn's first assistant, that brings his total of lieutenants to 5. Europe will be looking to regain the trophy at Le National after the USA won on Hazeltine 2 years ago. McDowell is looking to add his experience to the mix.
I'm really excited about the opportunity to help Team Europe stop the US momentum. I think my experience at Paris National, the four Ryder Cups I've played have been the greatest moments of my career. Just excited to take on a slightly different view of things and obviously help the 12 players be as ready as they possibly can to regain this trophy that we all care so much about.
In Gaelic games, Donegal meet Derry this Sunday in the Ulster Championship quarter-final at Celtic Park. A number of the Donegal regulars didn't feature in the victory over Cavan and Ballybofey. Paddy McGrath, Oran McNeilis and Mark Anthony McGinley are all back in contention for a place this weekend. Donegal manager Declan Bonner says he now has selection headaches.
Yeah, those guys are will be available for selection. They've trained in the last couple of weeks. So
that's
yeah,
Paddy and Orr, is it?
Yeah, and Mark Antony. Yeah, those guys are available for selection. They as I said, they've trained well over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, it gives us a few selection headaches now ahead of the match. But that's where you want to be. And you know it's competition for places, and you see that any time we go out and play our in-house games, real good edge to it, and that's what you want to see.
Martin O'Reilly and Martin McElhinney carrying Knox as well. Where are they in their recovery?
Yeah, they're probably maybe another couple of weeks away, and Nathan Mullins also, but nothing major. They're coming back from injuries, but I think it's not going to keep them out that much longer. But we still mean without those guys, it's been nice to have the full squad available. But we have a very strong squad that we're happy with, and that we know that we'll put in this performance that we're looking for on Sunday.
Donegal manager Declan Bonner speaking to Tom Comack at today's press conference. Moving on to soccer, and Portsmouth have confirmed they've reached an agreement with Derry City to sign winger Ronan Curtis. The 22-year-old has penned a pre-contract 2-year deal and is set to officially become a Pompey player on June the 9th when the international transfer window reopens. Curtis will join Portsmouth for an undisclosed fee. Well, last night on the pitch, Aaron McAniff scored twice as Derry City recorded a welcome 2-0 victory at home to Bray Wanderers. After two recent defeats, Derry defender Jack Doyle says they need to build on the result with Waterford coming up on Friday.
Yeah, you know, we're happy with it, to get back to winning ways. You know, we can, the last few games have been disappointing on our behalf, but, you know, they've gone now. We've got to build on this win tonight and get the confidence back. And look forward to Friday night. You know, it's a massive game Friday night. So yeah, you know, it's important to get a clean sheet tonight, and yeah, we're happy.
You can hear more from Jack and manager Kenny Shields on our website, highlandradio.com. On the pitch tonight, St Pat's can climb to third place in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division if they can get a victory against Shamrock Rovers. That game's in Talla tonight, and St Pat's are looking for a fifth win in a row. Kickoff there tonight is at 8 o'clock. Well, Donegal League junior side Gwydor Celtic, they've been named as one of the 8 nominees for the prestigious FAI Club of the Year. The FAI Club of the Year Award celebrates and promotes the inspirational work by clubs around Ireland. The 8 clubs will now receive a cheque worth €1,500 as reward for their nomination, and will go forward to the final round at the FAI Festival of Football in Cork this August. In other news, has been confirmed that Brighton and Republic of Ireland international Shane Duffy, he'll be the guest of honour at this year's launch of the International O'Neill's Foil Cup at the Waterfoot Hotel in Derry on Tuesday, June the 5th. Shane's a former player of the Derry and District Youth FA with Foil Harps FC, and played in the Foil Cup competition from age 10 until 16. He's presently on international duty with the Republic of Ireland team as he faces matches against the USA and France. Well, across channel, Arsenal are expected to appoint former Paris Saint-Germain boss Unai Emery as their manager this week. He'll replace Arsene Wenger, who's left after 22 years in North London. Emery was sacked by PSG despite winning the French top flight, and is best known for lifting 3 successive Europa Leagues with Sevilla. Meanwhile, Manuel Pellegrini, he says he hopes to bring an exciting style of football back to West Ham. The Chilean today signed a 3-year deal to succeed David Moyes in the London Stadium hot seat. West Ham finished 13th in the Premier League last term, but struggled at the wrong end of the table for much of the season. Pellegrini's last English job saw him lead Manchester City to the title in 2014. And Harry Kane, he'll captain England at the World Cup in Russia. Manager Gareth Southgate's picked the Tottenham striker as a skipper. It was believed to be a straight choice between him and Liverpool's Jordan Henderson. In rugby, Declan Kidney has been confirmed as the new director of rugby at London Irish. The 2009 Grand Slam winning coach has been serving as the club's technical consultant since March, and has impressed the club's board. The Exiles were relegated to the Championship in the season just past, but Kidney is confident that he can get promoted back to the Premiership at the first attempt. Les Kiss continues to work with Kidney as their head coach. In other news, Scarlets have suffered a significant injury blow ahead of Saturday's Pro 14 final with Leinster. That's at the Aviva. Back row John Barkley has undergone surgery for a ruptured Achilles tendon. Meanwhile, South African Stuart Berry has been confirmed as the referee for Saturday's final. Berry took charge of last week's semi-final win for Leinster over Munster at the RDS. In cycling, Simon Yates has seen his lead at the Giro d'Italia cut in half. Ronan Dennis won today's time trial, but Yates' main rival for the pink jersey, Tom Dumoulin, he was third. Yates' lead over Dumoulin has been cut now to 56 seconds. Finally, for this evening in boxing, Eric Molina has been banned from the sport for 2 years for failing a drugs test. The American heavyweight tested positive for a banned steroid following his December 2016 loss to Anthony Joshua. Molina has fought twice since, but now he won't be available again until late October 2019. That's all your sport this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. It's believed a woman found dead in Rathmichael in South Dublin was strangled to death. A post-mortem is continuing on the remains believed to be those of Justine Valdez. From Rathmichael, Stephanie Grogan reports.
Gardaí has spent most of the day here in Rathmichael cutting away gorse and examining the area where this body was found. Preliminary post-mortem results indicate the cause of death was strangulation and occurred 36 to 48 hours before the body was found. Justine Valdez was last seen being forced into a car in Enniskerry and Wicklow on Saturday night. These walkers in Rathmichael still can't believe what happened.
Gutted for the girl. I mean, I come here all the time and there's quite a bit of traffic, you know, going up and down there. I don't know how he did it without no one seeing him. Shocked.
We're young girls, so new to Ireland as well, to have gone such a horrible way.
A vigil is being held for Justine this evening in her home village of Enniskerry. Local TD John Brady says people want to pay their respects.
We're asking people to come along, bring a candle and just to remember Justine.
Meanwhile, Gardaí are asking anyone with information on the movements of Justine's suspected abductor, Mark Hennessy, to contact them. The Donda 2 was shot dead by Gardaí on Sunday evening and a bloodstained note was found in his car. There are reports the 40-year-old may have gone drinking after the abduction and Gardaí are asking anyone who interacted with him to contact them. Stephanie Grogan and Rathmichael in Dublin.
There has been a huge surge in the number of people in Donegal registering to vote ahead of the upcoming abortion referendum. Figures released by the National Youth Council of Ireland revealed that 2,885 young people in the county have registered to vote ahead of taking to the polls on Friday, an increase of 128% compared to voter registration for the 2015 marriage equality referendum. James Durley is Deputy Director with the National Youth Council of Ireland.
There's been a marked increase across the country. That's very welcome. We highlighted the fact that perhaps many young people weren't registered to vote, but we're very pleased to see that across the country that there's potentially up to 125,000 people have registered. And Donegal is kind of at the top of the league with almost 2,885 extra people have been included in the supplementary register, which is 128% up on the last referendum which we had in 2015. So that's very, very welcome that so many people, and particularly young people, have actually made sure that they have the right to vote on Friday.
A West Tyrone MP has committed to challenge the decision to cease the prescription of medicinal cannabis in the case of 12-year-old Billy Caldwell from Castlederg. In April of last year, a decision was reached that would allow Billy's doctor to prescribe medicinal cannabis for him to treat his epilepsy. That decision has now been revoked, prohibiting his doctor to issue prescriptions for the treatment. MP Orla Begley says an explanation needs to be given as to why this decision has been taken now.
There has been a decision taken to refuse Billy's GP to prescribe any more of this treatment to him. This decision is completely absurd. From the outset, the Home Office and the Health Department officials were made aware of the decision taken by the GP to prescribe this medication. There were no objections. And then until last week when Ms. Caldwell had received notification that the GP has no longer authority to prescribe the drug.
For weather now, clouds will continue to thin this evening, bringing some late evening sunshine in places. Dry tonight with clear periods and some patchy mist and fog, with lowest temperatures of 6 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a prominent anti-abortion campaigner from Donegal has gatecrashed a Yes campaign political photo shoot in Dublin and called Minister Simon Harris to resign. All TDs and senators supporting a Yes vote have gathered for a photo shoot in a Dublin hotel. Staff at Lloyd's pharmacy branches across the country will next week call for industrial action. A trade union mandate claims employees have taken the step following the refusal by the company, which has one branch in Letterkenny, to negotiate with them. The Labour Court issued a recommendation last month to the company's management stating that they should negotiate with their workers' representatives in relation to pay and conditions of employment. It's hoped that a new EU-funded cross-border health project will lead to patients being treated more quickly and services improved in a number of areas across the north and northwest. The Seattle Hospital Group and Western Health Trust are among the bodies included in the new €8.8 million initiative. And the chair of the Donegal Islands Committee has moved to clarify details on issues surrounding road conditions on Armour Island. It's after another member of the Islands Committee, Seamus Rogers, claimed that residents on Armour were being treated like second-class citizens. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 22nd of May. The death has taken place at Nazareth House Fawn of Paddy Barr, late of Ballymacarthur, Greencastle. Removal from Collins funeral premises cooled off this evening at 8 o'clock, going to his residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Patients Comfort Fund, Nazareth House, Fawn, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has taken place of Kathleen Kitty Farron, née McDermott, Charlton Cumhardy, Manchester, formerly of Glenagivney, Inishowen. Requiem Mass will take place in St John's Church, Charlton Cumhardy, on Thursday, May 31st at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Southern Cemetery, Manchester. The death has taken place of Danny McLaughlin, Glasha Carndonna. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Andrew Strain, East Kilbride, formerly of Falcara. His remains will repose at Heritage Funeral Home, The Village, East Kilbride, on Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. Funeral leaving his family home on Friday evening at 5:30 for reception and vigil in St Leonard's Church, East Kilbride. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, followed by burial in Phillips Hill Cemetery. Family flowers only, please.